Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good afternoon, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Wednesday, November 7th, and do we have a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I'll be joined by Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today, Antoine Staley, for his weekly spot here on the podcast as we talk all things Miami Dolphins. Before I jump into things, I do want to address that we haven't had a show here, a podcast up the past couple days. That's all on me. There was a family member that had some health issues, and I've just been tied up, and I haven't had time to record, so I do apologize. A lot of you have been reaching out, where's the show? Where's the show? That's why I've just been tied up with some real life issues and some health issues of a family member, so I have been tied up. But we'll be back with shows all week, starting right now, and we'll have shows the rest of the week here on the website. So just want to mention that is why we haven't had a show up here in a couple days. Before I get to Antoine, there is one issue I do want to talk about, and that's sort of this Rashad Jones story. And as Miami Dolphins fans, you know, everyone loves Rashad Jones. He's been in Miami since, I believe, 2010. Been a great player the whole time. You know, leaves it all on the field. Right now, he's playing injured, which, you know, the guy just leaves it on the field. And you can't ask for more of him. He's been one of the best safeties in the league. With that said, Rashad Jones, you know, screwed up last Sunday when he took himself out of the game. And that's saying it nicely. He screwed up. And today when he spoke to the media, you know, some of his comments, just, he comes off like a fool. And I hate to say it because, once again, we all love Rashad Jones. But when you say stupid things, I don't know what you expect people to just either sit there and eat it up or just accept it. But it's stupid. And from the reports, it really hasn't been confirmed, but reading between the lines, essentially, the coaching staff asked Jones to come off the field here. They were going to sort of mix things up in the secondary. Jones was going to come out for a few plays, and he didn't like that. So he went out of the game and said, I ain't going back in. And, you know, he sat there on the sideline, refused to go in the game, took himself out of the game, and pouted. And now there's a lot of blame here. Number one, you can question Matt Burke saying, why would you ever take this guy off the field? He's probably your best player on defense. That's a fair question to ask. With that said, Matt Burke wanted to try something new. And the way the Miami Dolphins have been playing on defense of late, I can't really fault him for trying something new. You could fault Matt Burke for maybe not communicating this well to Rashad Jones in advance. So maybe he knew this was going to happen. I don't know if this was thrown on him, you know, mid-game. But if maybe it could have been communicated better. Part of this goes on head coach Adam Gase. Adam Gase is the head coach. He has to know what the game plan is on defense. He doesn't get a free pass, okay? He's the head coach. He must know what's going on with every aspect of this team. If he didn't know ahead of time, then that's on him, and this doesn't look good for him either. But to me, the one who comes off looking the worst here, and I hate to say it because we all love Rashad Jones, is Rashad Jones. And with some of the statements he gave today to the media, you know, he makes himself look even worse than before. Once again, this is a case of a player not knowing when to shut up. And when asked about the situation last Sunday against the Jets, Rashad Jones, the first statement, I've never been a quitter. That's a lie. You quit on Sunday against the Jets. You quit on your team. You did not. You walked off the field, refused to go back in, and quit on your team. So you cannot say the statement no more. I've never been a quitter. You quit, you know, 4 days ago. Okay, you quit. And he goes on to say, I've been here 9 years playing my ass off for this team. Never been a quitter. Never will. I'm going to continue to do what I need to do to be one of the best in the league and help this team win football games. Again, that little statement can't be taken seriously. I've never been a quitter. I mean, never been a quitter, never will. You quit Sunday. You can't say this 4 days later. You look like an idiot. You look like an idiot. And I know, you know, and that's not, I mean, I don't know. And then he goes on to say, let's see here. Where's his final quote? He wants fans to know. He wants fans to know that I've been a 9-year pro. I've been one of the best safeties in the league for a long time, and I'll continue to fight and play my ass off for this team. That statement holds no water either, because you say, I'll continue to fight and play my ass off for this team, unless you don't want to, like last Sunday, when you just walked to the sideline and pouted. And then he was asked from the media, do you have any regrets? No, not at all. Well, that's just a cherry on top. So not only did every statement you say today was pretty much false, because you have quit, and you're saying you will play your ass off for the team, except if they call a play you don't like or something, he's going to walk to the sideline and refuse to go in. And then if you ask if you have any regrets, he says, no, I mean, do they expect people to buy this? Does Rashad Jones think everyone, does he think everyone is an idiot? Because honestly, I don't know how you say this with a straight face. I really don't. And, you know, sometimes it's just better to say nothing. Or just say, it's an in-house matter. I spoke to the coaching staff. It's resolved. We can just move on and talk about the Packers. Was that so difficult? Why? I mean, the fact, A, he didn't say that, or B, nobody with the Dolphins organization said, hey, if you're asked about this, maybe word it this way so it just sort of dies down and goes away. I mean, does anybody in the Dolphins help out the coaching staff and players with any media savvy, any media training at all? Because these guys, it was Adam Gase last week, Rashad Jones this week. I mean, this stuff, you cannot take this stuff seriously. Rashad Jones looks like a fool with what he said today. And, I mean, there's no other way to say it. Again, we all love Rashad Jones. Great player. Nobody's knocking him as a player. But when he says, I've never been a quitter, when he quit Sunday, you know, I mean, does anybody buy that? I mean, it's really, you know, all offseason, heard about there's a culture change in Miami. We're changing the culture, culture change. That's why so-and-so had to go. That's why this guy had to go. That's why that's why we're going to sign this guy and that guy, because they're good in the locker room, culture change. And then, you know, middle of the season, one of your best players takes himself out of the game and goes, I've never been a quitter. No, you quit. You are a quitter. Rashad Jones is a quitter, period. End of story. There's no way around it. So it's just frustrating to see. Once again, the Miami Dolphins make more news off the field than on. And this story, you know, it'll go away by Sunday. It's pretty much one of those one-week stories. Took himself out of the game Sunday. By the time there's another game Sunday, that story's dead and buried, because he has made up with the coaching staff, and it seems like it probably won't happen again. But, you know, I've lost a little bit of respect here for Rashad Jones. A, for taking himself out of the game, and B, for some of his comments today, which are laughable. Not saying you got to trade him, release him, run him out of town. Not saying that at all. But, you know, this has been a bad week for Rashad Jones. And there's no way to put a positive spin on it. It's just been bad. And he looks really bad. So that is what it is. Now, we'll take a quick break. And when I come back, I'll be joined by Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today, Antoine Staley, to talk all things Miami Dolphins. So sit tight, and we'll be back after this.
Simbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get authentic Miami Dolphins signed memorabilia. Simbad Sports has had the likes of Albert Wilson, Kiko Alonso, Frank Gore, Jakeem Grant, Rashad Jones, Ricky Williams, and Cam Wink in for recent autograph signings. So when you're in South Florida, go ahead and visit Simbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com say.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Antoine Staley from USA Today. Antoine, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. And we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about the game against the Jets, because that was painful. Is that the worst game you've ever seen live in person?
That I remember, yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be top three. It has to be top three, but not number one.
It's definitely up there.
That was bad.
Yeah, that was a stinker up there. No offensive touchdowns between the two teams. Went for Jerome Baker's pick six. No telling who would have won that game.
I know. And then I was thinking, if this game heads to overtime, I might turn off the TV. I literally might turn off the TV. I cannot watch an extra 5 or 10 minutes of this. Just end the game.
I don't blame you. That was just horrible that football.
The big story to come out of that game was Rashad Jones. And I know since then we've sort of learned late that night he met with head coach Adam Gase. They made up. Whatever happened. We really don't know what happened. This still looks bad, though, for the Miami Dolphins, right?
Yeah, it does. I mean, to have him just not check himself out of the game, and it's just a weird situation. Now Adam Gase was saying that they're now on the same page, but they weren't on the same page on Sunday, and Jones had taken himself out of the game. I thought it might have been an injury concern, but it was no injury reported, and he just left the locker room. As soon as we got in the media got in there, it was just a weird situation. And I don't know if this says something about Matt Burke being able to communicate that Michael Fitzpatrick was going to play some in his spot or whatever the case may be. It seemed like it was just a lack of communication. I don't know who – it seemed like it might have been between Matt Burke and Rashad Jones or whatever the case is. But, either way, it just does not look good. It doesn't reflect well on Adam Gase, who's taking a lot of heat. Doesn't reflect well on Matt Burke also, who's also taking a lot of heat up until last week when they played that stinker against the – defense played well against the Jets. And it doesn't look necessarily well against Rashad Jones either.
Yeah, because we heard all offseason from head coach Adam Gase and the whole organization about we're here to change the culture, changing the culture, this, that, and the other. And then, now it was, week 9 or 10, whatever it was last weekend, you have a guy quit in the middle of the game, and then you got Jones. I'm reading what he said today when he spoke to the media. I've never been a quitter. Well, you quit Sunday. I mean, you can't say I've never been a quitter when you literally just quit Sunday, like 3 days prior. I mean, so I think everybody looks bad. Now, Jones, look, they need him, obviously. And it seems like whatever happened, they have sort of resolved. But, I mean, that's as bad as it is. And once again, it's another what you would call superstar player who is not on the same page with Adam Gase maybe or something's going on. Adam Gase is the head coach. I mean, this is on him.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's just one of many circumstances that you detail. You talk about Jarvis Landry. You also talk about Jay Ajayi, that situation. Also, Mike Pouncey. That didn't necessarily end on the best of terms. Pouncey ripped the organizers. I was getting there with Jordan Phillips. Even at Dominican Suto. It just seems like, to me, he doesn't know how to coach stars. And I don't know if it's youth or lack of maturity, whatever the case may be. Whatever it is, it's something that needs to be changed. I just think what I think about Adam Gase is he's doing a lot of this on the fly. Sometimes he doesn't know exactly what he's doing, and you could just tell him he's very inexperienced in this.
Yeah, and I think also for a first-time head coach, he needs to realize he is the head coach. So everything he says and everything he does has ramifications that when you're just a coordinator or a position coach, you don't really have to deal with. And I mean, that's part of it. And that is part of the learning thing, but it's like, this is year three for him as well. And you would think by now, some of this stuff still wouldn't be happening. But yeah, that one was a head scratcher because with all the injuries, the last thing you need is a healthy player taking himself out, especially one the caliber of Rashad Jones. Let's move on to the quarterback. I know he met with the media today. What did you take away from Tannehill and what he said to the media? Are you any more or less hopeful that he will be ready after the bye, or was it just a bunch of lip service essentially?
They were actually kind of forced to make Tannehill talk. So because we hadn't really talked to him at all, and he's not on the Dolphins have a rule stating that you can't talk to a player that's on injured reserve, which is kind of, we call it a Tannehill rule because they, and after that, at the end of the 2017 season, but yeah, he's not on injured reserve and the media wants to talk to him. So we kind of forced their hand and getting them to talk to the media. So he came out there today and just talked about, I thought he did a great job detailing about stuff, his injury and concerns that he had. And I don't feel any confident in him. I don't even think he's going to return for the Colts game. Like the way he's talking, they're not throwing the ball. I know they said they're going to try next week, but he's still having pain. According to Tannehill, he's going to have pain for the rest of the season, which to me, if he comes back and he has a lot of pain in that shoulder, I mean, that's not necessarily good for the Dolphins either. I don't know if it's in their best interest to bring him back when he's going to suffer that much pain throughout the course of the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely. And that sort of leads to what he would be playing behind as well, because right now that offensive line is banged up and bruised. Look, it was already banged up and bruised, but last week we saw both offensive tackles leave the game at the end of the game there for injuries. What's the latest on them? I saw today that they practice on a limited basis. Have you heard anything about one or the other? Who's worse off here? Is James sort of more injured than Laremy Tunsil, you think? And what do you think the odds are of one or them both playing this week?
Well, yeah, I think Tunsil's injury is a little bit less concerning than James's. If you look at reports, I think both of them are going to try to play, but neither one is guaranteed. Yeah, as you said, they both flew on a limited basis. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see how the week transpires. Also, Ted Larson, your left guard, is also hurt as well. So you got three of your top five offensive linemen that are injured at the moment. It's not good. And Ted Larson has been suffering from a neck injury the last few weeks. So the last thing you want to do, especially maybe in a cold weather environment where you have injuries, is go up there and maybe get stiff against the Packers. And, yeah, that's just not – the bye week couldn't come any quicker for the Dolphins, yeah. Just put it like that.
Yeah, absolutely, because they got a lot of guys who probably could just really use a week off here. Sunday's game, this past Sunday, one thing I do want to talk about is the split between Frank Gore and Drake. And we talk about this a lot each week when I have you on, about why doesn't Miami run the ball more? Why don't they run the ball enough? This week they did run the ball 27 times total, which is pretty good. The problem is they gave 20 carries to Frank Gore, and Drake only saw three handoffs and really wasn't much of a factor in this game. He did catch four passes as well. But why does – look, I know in the – I think it was the first series of the game he did miss the blitz pickup and he got Osweiler sacked, but – he made a mistake. It's nothing in the world. Why doesn't Adam Gase use Drake more? To me, this is 100% on the head coach, because this makes zero sense to me.
I don't know. I think that really boggles everybody's mind. You have a player. I'm not saying Drake is as good as Alvin Kamara. What I am saying is they have a similar skill set, whereas they both can catch the ball at the backfield. They can do so many different things for the football team. And, yeah, you refuse to use him. Yeah, I understand you want to get Drake involved, and I understand you want to use Frank Gore a little bit. He's more of a – as far as a short yards guy, as far as running up the hole, he's like a traditional running back. He's not going to get dropped backwards. But Gore just – I mean, Drake is just such a great home run hitter for this football team that it's no reason for me for him to have less than 15 touches a game. For him to have like six or seven, and it's happened constantly.
Multiple times. Yep.
Yeah, I don't understand it. And then last year, even to an extent, you would think that Gase would have learned last year when you had Damian Williams, which I didn't understand that either. You had him above Kenyon Drake in the starting lineup, and then only reason Drake got carries was because he got hurt and ended up trading J.H.I. So I would have thought that Kenyon Drake was going to be the lead guy this year. Obviously, that hasn't been the case for whatever reason. I don't know why Adam Gase does necessarily trust him, but I think he will relieve a lot of the offense's problems if you just give him the ball. It's not like the offense has all of these weapons. They don't necessarily do, and now you have an interest to Kenny Stills and to the offensive line, and I think getting the ball to Kenyon Drake will relieve a lot of those problems.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned something too, that how he's very similar to Alvin Kamara. I also, which is true. And he also has that same sort of set as I would say as Hunt there with the Chiefs. They're all three of those guys are very similar. Now the Saints and the Chiefs obviously feature their weapon a lot more and look at the amount of games they win. In Miami, they have a guy, maybe not quite on that level, but he's pretty damn close. And how he played at the end of last year really showed he can take over games, and we're not even featuring him at all. I mean, I don't get it. They do throw him the ball. He did get six targets last week, I believe. Okay, so he's a little bit in the passing game. He's involved, but not much. But, you know, get him the ball. He's a big play if he makes one guy miss. And once again, head coach Adam Gase, I know he's been a little bit on the hot seat here about the past month or so for a bunch of things. But this is one that's on him, and I'm going to give you someone else too, is Devontae Parker. He's finally healthy, coming off a big game against Houston. Miami's got a bunch of injuries at wide receiver. I know the offense was bad this week against the Jets, But for him to only get two targets, it's like at that point they should have just traded him. If they're not going to even feature him and try to force him the ball, why do they hold on to him? They should have just let him go. He got two targets against the Jets. That makes zero sense to me, and some of that has to be on the head coach. Who calls the plays?
Yeah, I think a lot of that is, although I will say that the whole entire offense last week.
I know that.
It's no really way around that. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think you got to find ways to get your playmakers, the best playmakers of all, especially when you have an injury to Kenny Stills. So obviously, he played last week, but he clearly wasn't the same player and probably may not be the rest of the season. Going injuries are so tricky, as we talked about last week.
He had one target last week, which he caught, and then he got Parker had two. I mean, to me, I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm you're supposed to be this great offensive mind, but yet you can't find ways to get some of your best players the ball. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't understand what their game plan is going into the week. But yeah, definitely this week you definitely have to find a way to get Kenny's right to football. That's just the bottom line of it. And until you do that, I think your offense is going to be struggling to score points. Even if Tannehill comes back, don't want to have him carrying the team offensively, because I don't think he's going to be able to, at least not for the rest of the season with that shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, if he comes back, he won't be near 100%. Osweiler, again, this past Sunday, he didn't turn it over. And if he's going to play, because he has to, because we have nobody else, the one thing he can't do is turn it over, which he didn't do. Because if he turns it over probably once last week, they might actually lose that game. And we haven't seen the game yet, which I got a feeling one of these weeks it will happen, or he has an awful game. He throws three interceptions or four interceptions. I have a feeling that game is going to come. It might be this week. Who knows? But we haven't seen that yet. I mean, he's not playing great because he can't throw a long ball to save his life. But if he doesn't turn it over, Miami, I mean, they're going to be in these games. I mean, I don't know if they have a chance to win, but they're not probably won't get blown out too badly. But, yeah, I mean, this offense needs to manufacture yards and points. And the fat guys like Parker, now since he's healthy, and someone like Drake just don't get the ball, really does. I mean, what is he thinking? I don't know.
Like I said before, I just don't understand it. So I'm curious to see what their game plan is going to be against Green Bay this week, because you have to be able to keep the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hand as much as possible if you're not able to run the football. And even with running the ball 20 times, they still weren't able to run the football effectively with Gore last week.
2.4 yards a carry wasn't good. Let's talk about this week's game against the Packers. Obviously, I think, look, we're probably on the same page. I don't see Miami heading up to Lambeau and winning against Rodgers. That's a tall feat, even if Miami was healthy. But with all the guys they have out, I mean, that's a tough feat. But what's your thoughts on this game? What do you think? I mean, what do you think they have to do to have a chance to win?
Well, just run the football, try to shorten the game as much as possible, and use both Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake, and just try to and not turn the football over. If you're able to do that, and maybe get some pressure on Aaron Rodgers, you definitely have a shot, at least to keep it close. I know they're 9.5-point favorites, which we've seen the Dolphins on the road, and especially in these situations and against a great quarterback. So I don't necessarily know if this bodes well for them. This seems like it's one of those weeks where it could get ugly. Pretty quickly, to be quite honest with you, when you're playing a guy that's arguably the best quarterback in football. So, yeah, I have to go with the Packers, and I think it's going to be by double digits.
Yep, this game sort of reminds me of the game against Houston where Miami might hang around for a bit, but they're really never in the game. You know, where Houston just always felt like they were going to win that game. This might be a game like that where maybe it's close for a half or so, but in the second half, Rodgers will just take over and pick Miami apart. And I don't see the Dolphins putting up a lot of points anyways, so it might be one of those types of games. Antoine, thanks so much for joining me on the show this week. Everyone, be sure to read the work of Antoine Staley at DolphinsWire.USAToday.com and follow him on Twitter at Antoine Staley. Antoine, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, Dan, sounds good.
Have a good one.
The DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network brings you only the best podcasts covering the Miami Dolphins. With fins up, fans down, welcome to Perfectville, the same old Dolphins show, the Landon and Jeff show, as well as DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast. You will get in-depth coverage from diehard, passionate Miami Dolphins fans each and every week. Be sure to listen to all these great podcasts and check them out at DolphinsTalk.com.
Once again, I would like to thank Antoine Staley from USA Today for joining us on the podcast. Now, let's get right to the pig segment. And last week, Landon and Jeff went 3-0. I went 2-1, so we are all tied up at this point and all square. So this is a big week. And to hear who Landon and Jeff picked, you'll have to tune into their show. But let me give you my three picks right now in the NFL this week here against the spread. Game number one, and I hate to do it, but I have to, because to me, it is a slam dunk. Give me the Green Bay Packers at home, -9 against Miami. What I saw last week out of the Miami Dolphins was absolutely abysmal. And I know everyone is crediting the defense, and it played well, don't get me wrong. But I think a lot of that, or at least part of that, was the Jets offense was just absolutely terrible. And I want to see Miami stop a real team and a real quarterback. And with the Packers, you got a real team and a real quarterback. They're at home. Miami Dolphins did nothing on offense. The offensive line is just a total mess right now. Nobody's 100%, it seems like. And I do not trust Brock Osweiler on the road. So give me Green Bay -9 over Miami, pick number one. Game number two, the number's huge. But I think, once again, Arizona has no chance in hell of winning at Kansas City. So it's just a matter of how much do the Chiefs win by. And I will lay the 16.5. This game has 37-10 written all over it. And I will take the Chiefs laying the 16.5. Kansas City, to me, and I know they just lost at New England, so, but to me, they're the best team in the AFC right now. And I think Kansas City is the real deal. So I think they'll just blow Arizona out of the water here in Arrowhead. So give me the Chiefs -16.5 against Arizona. Game number three. The one game I lost last week was, was the Dallas Cowboys. And what I saw on Monday night was not good. And now they got a short weekend. They're playing on the road in Philadelphia. Give me the Philadelphia Eagles -6 against the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys, they have some pieces on that team, but something's just not working. I don't know what it is. And I think Philadelphia, who will be well-rested, they now have Golden Tate in the mix. And I think Wentz is, I think he's back to 100% right now at this point. And he has been playing well. So give me Philadelphia home Sunday night. The crowd's going to be going nuts. They hate the Cowboys. And I have no faith in the Cowboys offense to do anything right now. So my three picks are Green Bay -9, Kansas City -16.5, and the Philadelphia Eagles -6. Once again, to hear who Landon and Jeff pick, tune in to the Landon and Jeff show. So that's all for today's show. Like I said, I want to apologize once again for not having a show out the past few days. Real life just happened, and I had to take care of some family stuff, so didn't have any time to record, but we'll have shows pretty much every day the rest of this week. And if it's not me, I've already spoken to Tom Ernesty, and maybe he can jump in and help out here, but we'll have shows here the rest of the week. As always, be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk and visit the website DolphinsTalk.com. We got a ton of new articles up, a bunch of new videos up, and everything. You're going to want to check it all out at DolphinsTalk.com. Everyone have a great rest of your night, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.